Glory Hole. Chapter 4. The next morning, when Dawn awakened from the noise of the alarm clock, the sun was streaming brightly through the heavy white curtains. He glanced at Ed and saw the man still fast asleep and giving no indication of hearing the clock at all. Dawn jumped up and turned off the alarm. He stood and looked at the sleeping man. Ed was beautiful even in sleep. His thick, dark lashes curled down like two crescents over his cheeks, the closed lids concealing the impish green eyes. Then Don felt his bottom. His fingers worked between the buttocks and tenderly touched his anus. He was sore. No, it hadn't been a wild dream. He was sure that he'd been fucked. He'd never had that sensation in his ass before. He felt dilated. Widened, if that was possible. He shook Ed by the shoulder. Get up. Time to get up. Ed stirred and stretched his arms toward the back of the bed, spreading his legs as he did so. The covers moved. Don knew that he was nude underneath. When he finally opened his eyes, he smiled innocently at Don. "Didn't even hear the alarm," he mumbled, his words thick with sleep that still clung to him. "It's already 11," Don said. "Better get shaved and dressed." "Why don't you shave first and then wake me up?" Ed continued to stretch. "Okay," Don sighed. He went to the bathroom and hunted about the cabinet for Ed's shaving equipment. It was peculiar how most men kept their things in identical places, he mused. Then he noticed that there was a full-length mirror on the back of the door. He was curious. He turned his back to the mirror, bent forward till he could look between his spread legs and spread his buttocks. The anus appeared to be an angry red, but otherwise normal-looking. There were no abrasions, only a little soreness. He got up from his position and turned on the hot water spigot. At least he had satisfied his curiosity. As he began to lather his face, he stared at his reflection and wondered again, had he really been fucked? Was it possible to get fucked and not be any more sore than he was? True enough, he had often wondered what it felt like. He had wondered just the evening before when he had seen so many pictures of guys taking it that way. The pictures. He wondered. He stole stealthily out of the bathroom and went to the den. Yes, they were still there. The albums were neatly stacked on the coffee table in full view. Christ, suppose there had been a big fire. Ed must have thought of that possibility. Perhaps he knew the police, and he could even smooth it over if that happened. Even then, Don thought, he could always claim that it was evidence he had recently picked up and had delayed turning in. As he finished shaving, he wondered why he wasn't suffering any more guilt reaction than he was. He was mildly surprised that he could think back to what happened last night without too much shame. Of course, he had had too much to drink, and possibly Ed had as well. But there was no excusing what they had done. But then the pictures had excited them. He could go on, he decided, finding all sorts of excuses and counter-excuses. Admit it, man, you enjoyed it. He was startled at that thought, but it was true. He was surprised to learn about Ed's sexual obsession enabled him to enjoy relations with his own sex. He hadn't suspected him, although in retrospect, he could now remember little innuendos and facial expressions. Hell, just that same day, he'd let that fellow eat him all the way in the Empire Tea Room, hadn't he? He should have known then. By the time he'd finished shaving, he'd made up his mind that he wasn't going to mention a thing about what happened. Perhaps it had been a one-time thing for both of them, never to be repeated. If that were the case, if Ed had just been overtly hot and had gotten carried away, he didn't want to embarrass both of them. If Ed wanted to discuss it, he would let him be the one to bring up the subject. When he went to awaken Ed, he found the man was deeply asleep. Apparently the night had worn him out, if that were possible. "Wake up, Ed," Don shook the man. Ed finally stirred, sat up slowly and scratched. "Make some coffee, will you?" Ed asked pleasantly. "I have the percolator in the kitchen all set. All you have to do is plug it in. By the time I finish shaving, it'll be ready, and then we can go eat at the El Dorado." "Okay," Don smiled, secretly stealing a glance at Ed's nude body as he headed for the bathroom. Christ, had he really taken that up his ass? He marveled at the influence of a few beers. If he'd try to take that sober, he wondered. Would it be painful? Would it be easier psychologically now that he knew he'd already taken it? But then it wasn't that big, just impressive. As Don sat down at the table waiting for the coffee to perk, he smoked one cigarette after another. He reviewed his reasons for joining the squad. For one thing, he could freely admit to himself that he'd been unconsciously attracted to other males, even in high school. Yes, even then. Possibly even before. It had been the primary motivation for his taking the job. He was mentally excited at the prospect of hanging around men's rooms, of being able to see what goes on, and yes, admit it, even to participate with the feeling of security which belonging to the force gave him. He knew that he'd be immune to arrest, barring any unforeseeable accident. At best, even if that ever happened, they would probably just force him to resign rather than have the adverse publicity. Yes, being able to do things with complete immunity to arrest had certainly entered into the picture. But then, he hadn't anticipated being assigned to a partner like Ed. He hadn't expected to participate with another member of the squad. His illusions had only gone so far as strangers in restrooms, but certainly not another man on the force, and a married one to boot. Once again, he wondered at Ed. Was it possible that he had got his job for the same reasons? Not really. No, he didn't think so. After all, Ed was married and had 3 children. Of course, that didn't mean he couldn't be bisexual, but he was certainly not in the same class with Don. Don didn't like women, although he tolerated them for the sake of propriety. The coffee was just about ready, and he poured himself a cup, conscious of the sounds of Ed dressing a few rooms away. Was Ed really the type who could admit to himself the reasons behind his behavior? He didn't know. He didn't want anything to rock the boat. After all, they'd been getting along pretty well, and he was still on probation. He wouldn't want to make Ed cross and have him giving Don a bad report. Whenever he thought of that, he remembered the dull, dreary office job with no future, which he'd so recently forsaken. He found his new job exciting, barring the uncomfortable moments he suffered at having to arrest someone. Deep down, the little voice of conscience was whispering to him that he was a heel for imprisoning men of his own stamp. Yes, that little voice caused a lot of trouble. Don lit another cigarette. But he wasn't like those others, was he? Not really. Not any more than he and Ed were identical. There were all sorts of differences. "Admit it," the little voice said. "You're too chicken to do what the others do, aren't you? Not brave enough to go have sex with the fear of arrest hanging over you. You have to hide behind a badge. Big deal." Don stirred uneasily. He wanted to break his train of thought. He was becoming too uncomfortable. Think about the pleasant things. The walks in the park and the bright sunshine with the smell of the damp earth. The smell of spring in the air. The exciting stirring of your guts when you step into a men's room somewhere. The smell of the urine and the cold, wet feel of the tiles. There was the exciting glimpses of the other squad men, if they happened to be there already, standing by with erections. And the security of knowing you could smile at them, take in their cocks in a glance without being punished for it because they recognized you and knew that they couldn't touch you. Yes, it did have its compensations. When he thought of the arrested men, it was becoming increasingly clear that the charges did not seem to be all that severe. Eventually, most of the cases were dismissed anyway. However, he realized that life could never be the same for those men. They would forever be doomed to uneasiness. A feeling of furtiveness would forever color their sex lives. But then, too, there were the long-range effects, the disruptions in their family lives with those arrests led to. He knew that many a divorce had come about from the arrests they made. How many more, the unmarried ones, lost the affection and respect of their families? How many mothers and fathers would have preferred not knowing, although possibly suspecting, their sons' inclinations? Ed's entrance into the kitchen finally dragged Don away from his gloomy reverie. He was glad about the interruption, and it provided him with a new train of thought. "Coffee good?" Ed smiled. "Yes," Don grinned, "having my second cup." Ed poured himself coffee and unrolled the morning newspaper. He ignored Don for a few minutes while he went over to the front page and then rapidly scanned the inner sections. When he had finished with the first section, he handed it to the younger man, assuming that Don wished to see it, although he would really have preferred to stare at Ed and to study him. Don read the paper anyway. It felt good just to be sitting with this handsome man, sharing morning coffee with him, and with the secret knowledge of the intimacy they'd share the night before. He got a charge out of knowing that they'd pulled the wool over Edna's eyes. He had met her. He had hardly anticipated going to bed with her husband at the time he had met her, yet this still gave him a thrill. Ed drank another cup of coffee before suggesting they leave for the El Dorado. Their departure was without incident. Don was certain that if any neighbor happened to notice, there seemed nothing unusual in their leaving together. There'd only been one car parked under the carport all night, and besides, it was nearly 11, so no one could make anything slurry about that. They ate at their accustomed booth, served by the same surly waitress, and Ed seemed to be his old self again. Never once did he bring up the matter of what occurred the night before. Don didn't mention it either, and it seemed as though Ed was greatly relieved that he didn't. Or was that merely his imagination? Their day passed much as the previous one had. They'd visited most of the downtown department stores, dropped in at the Hoover Hotel, and then had passed through the Empire once more. All that was required there was that they show their identification to the woman in the booth, and she'd promptly give them free tickets. But that wasn't often necessary, unless there was a new employee. Most of the women knew them by sight, and would merely forego the formality of asking for their credentials and just pass them the tickets. With typical feminine reaction, they seemed glad to know that some of the homosexuals were going to be run in. Then, too, since most of the men on the squad were exceedingly handsome, they never lost an opportunity to flirt. This, Don found disconcerting, for he didn't like them much to begin with. However, Ed graciously charmed them, leaving them giggling obscenely. Don often thought that these women were playing much the same game as the guys in the men's room. The only difference was that it was legalized. Their individual morals were no better, and probably a lot worse. This realization didn't help to quiet the little voice in the back of his consciousness. That afternoon, around 2:30, Ed decided to take in a couple rounds of golf. He just happened to have his clubs in the trunk of the car. He'd been breaking Don into the game little by little, taking him to the country club where he often played. Don didn't understand much yet, but he liked being outdoors in the sunshine, and then, too, he was with Ed. It was wonderful to be with that good-looking guy, even if his mind was on sex all the time. He was beginning to wonder if, possibly, he wasn't secretly glad that Ed thought as he did. At 5:30, they ate at one of the better restaurants, and their nerves were soothed by the organ music of the house musician. Ed paid the bill, so Don felt none of the apprehension he usually did when dining in better surroundings. His salaries had always accustomed him to places such as the El Dorado. He knew that it made Ed uncomfortable to eat in such a place, but it felt no novelty to Dan. Following the meal, they drove around town, visiting several parks and going into every men's room possible. There was very little activity. There were days like that. Other days, the coops would be full, as Ed would say, all clucking for cock. But this was one of those days off when everyone seemed to have something else to do. They saw several other squad men in the course of the evening, and they had a few pleasant conversations, but very little else. They had several beers at a tavern, and then Ed suggested that they visit the local steam bath. Don had never been there, and he had asked Ed about it, so the man agreed to take him. "You should have the experience," Ed said. "Don't try to make any arrests, though, because the manager is an ex-policeman. Big friend of the mayor and all that, you know. Anyway, it's really off-limits to us unless we're merely paying a social call. But tonight, we'll make a social call." Don was slightly puzzled. "Ed, I've been thinking, like this guy being a friend of the mayor and that making a difference, do these other places pay? Well, like the Hoover Hotel? Do they pay what?" Ed dangled the question before him. "Well, graft. You got a lot to learn, kiddo," Ed commented. Still, he hadn't answered Don's question. "Sure they pay off," Ed finally admitted. "Don, this is a rough world. You know that?" Don nodded. "There's all kinds of people. Always have and always will be. There are some who keep their noses to the grindstone for most of their lives, believing that the meek shall inherit the earth and all that shit. But then, there are the others who aren't contented with that. They are the doers. The men who go out and do things, build fortunes, etc. You can't do all those things and not give in a little on the ethics as well. There's no such thing as an ethical businessman. That is, unless he's poor. The successful ones have all had to compromise at some point in life. After the going gets started, it's not so difficult to keep piling it up. But you've got to step on a few toes at one point or another. Get me?" Don nodded, but he didn't quite agree. He'd read of many men who'd arrived at successful positions by sheer force of personality and brain power. There might have been some imagined slights experienced by people of lesser stamp who were merely jealous, but he knew that it could be done without sacrificing one's moral code of ethics. They entered the steam bath and were assigned a locker and a room. As they walked down the aisle toward the rooms, Don could feel the humidity in the air. He entered his room, and Ed entered the one adjacent to it. Disrobed, he began to feel the excitement of the place. It was like stepping back in time to some period in history when orgies had been the order of the day. The atmosphere had it. Don was all well aware of it, well aware that Ed sensed it too. It caused his blood to boil and his cock to fluff out automatically. When he met Ed in the hall, he noticed the little puffy bulge at his groin. Apparently, Ed felt it too, had been influenced by the heady feel of sex in the air. He heard a slight, muffled sucking coming from one of the cubicles. Someone moaned softly, in pleasure. They visited the steam room. It was thick with vapor at first. Don could see very little of what was going on. He and Ed sat on one of the benches. After a few minutes, he could distinguish the bodies of several young men through the murk. He found it difficult to breathe. Some of the men had their heads down low where it was easier to breathe, for the steam rose toward the ceiling. Don felt the perspiration pouring from his pores. He was dripping, as was everything in the room, from the ceiling to the bench he sat on. He noticed the liquid pouring from Ed's body. After a few minutes, when the men who had been there previously began to become accustomed to the two newcomers, a few hands strayed between thighs. There was some coughing. Don saw one man with an erection. The man sitting next to him bent forward on the bench and began to suck on it. The one being sucked moaned. Another fellow got up and came to stand before the one being fellated. He presented his own erection, and when it was noticed, the passive one took him into his mouth. Still, another man slid behind the third man who had come to stand there. He slipped in between the man's cheeks. Another fellow, seated on the bench, watched the spectacle close at hand while masturbating with a great display of pleasure. Don felt his own cock stiffen at the sight. He'd never before seen such a group involved in this activity, except those pictures that Ed had shown him. He glanced at Ed again. The man's cock was stiff and standing almost up against his belly. As Don watched, it jerked once and slapped his abdomen. Ed didn't seem to notice. His eyes were glued to the quartet and they glittered with excitement. Finally, a newcomer came into the room. All activity ceased for the moment, and the newcomer sat across from Ed and Don. As his eyes stared through the murk, Don thought he saw a flicker of recognition there. He didn't know the fellow, but perhaps the fellow had seen them. In a few minutes, the fellow had worked his way over to the other little group, which still sat in the tight-knit order. He whispered a few words. One by one, the little group began to disperse, leaving the steam room and going to their individual cubicles. "Let's go," Ed said. He slipped an arm around Don's shoulder, and the younger man thrilled when the wet bodies made contact. Ed led him to the shower area, and Don noticed that the guy who had just whispered to the group was just finishing washing off. He glared at them both and grabbed his towel. He muttered something unintelligible before leaving and threw Don a hateful look. He wondered what was eating him. "We'd just as well shag ass," Ed said. "Why? We hardly got here." "Well, that one recognized me. I arrested him last year at the Empire, and he remembered my face. Spread the word and we're as good as poison right now." Don didn't question him further. If Ed thought it best to leave, he'd go with him. But he was a little disappointed that his first trip to the Citadel of Sex was being brought to such an abrupt finish. They showered together and then dried off, each drying the other's back, then went to their cubicles to dress. Don could hear loud sucking noises coming from the next cubicle, the one on the opposite side from Ed's. He wished that he could see through the partition. Oh, God, how he loved to look. That little quartet in the steam room had got him all hot and bothered. Don finished dressing before Ed, and he stood waiting for him in the hallway. There was a moan from the cubicle. Somebody was coming. Sexually. He could hear Ed rustling around in his own cubicle, the sound of change rattling loosely. A shoe dropped on the floor. Then the door to the cubicle opened on squeaky hinges. Someone was leaving the cubicle where he'd heard the noises of sucking and someone coming. His stomach fell. There he was again, Spike or Mike or whatever his name was, the guy who lived in the room next to his at the boarding house. The guy he'd seen a couple of days ago at the men's room of the Hotel Hoover. At that time, he'd slipped himself under the partition to feed the queen called Santa Claus. Their eyes met and held. The other guy, whatever his name was, seemed a bit startled. They stared. Finally, the fellow smiled slightly and then turned and walked toward the soft drink machine at the back of the place near the steam room. He had a towel wrapped around his middle, and Don stared after him. He noticed the guy's body. Christ, he was really built! He knew that he was employed by some construction company, and he decided that he was probably all from hard physical labor. He watched the strong calves, the heavily muscled back. The guy turned when he got to the soft drink machine, and once again he smiled a faraway smile. He placed his money into the machine just as Ed emerged from his cubicle. "Let's shag ass, babe," Ed smiled. As they left the place, Don's mind kept returning to the other fellow. He'd never have known if he hadn't seen through the secret mirror at the Hoover. Then the sucking sounds he'd heard. Which one had been the one making those sounds? Both? You know, Don, I don't know why you just don't plan on sleeping at my house until Edna gets back. Ed's voice startled him into returning to reality. They were in Ed's car now, pulling out of the garage. I hate to put you out like that, Don answered. Think of the air conditioning. Christ, when I think of you trying to sleep in that hot boarding house with only that half-assed oscillating fan to keep you cool, man, I don't know how you stand it. I guess I'm used to it, Don smiled. I'm not used to living luxuriously like you do. Well, I don't live luxurious, but I sure as hell try, Ed laughed. But look, I mean it, Don. Why don't you? You won't be in the way, and like I said before, I get lonesome with Edna and the kids gone. It's completely for me and someone to wake up to in the morning. Son of a bitch, but I hated to get up in the morning. Well, if you really mean it, Don sighed. Sure I do. Then it's all settled? Right. Don felt his stomach writhe expectantly. Well, if he wants to play it this way, it's just okay by me, he thought. No talk about it, just get into bed and fuck. Ed stopped at a drive-in food mart and picked up some more beer. This time, he bought 4 packs. Things happened just as Don expected they would. A few beers, the drowsy feeling, bed, and then sex. The next morning was almost a repetition of the first. They didn't discuss the occurrences of the previous night, but pretended that it hadn't happened. The third night, things were almost identical. By the fourth night, Don had to admit that he was really beginning to love it. All evening long, he'd been looking forward in anticipation to getting fucked. When it had come, he felt flooded with great relief. As usual, they didn't speak of it. Ed never mentioned a thing the next morning. Don began to wonder how it were possible for someone to live like that. When he remembered how Ed's mouth had kissed him, had sucked on his tongue and his lips voraciously, the wild, passionate embraces and the heavy breathing as his hips thrust in fucking motions, how could he possibly just ignore it all the next morning? He decided that Ed must be built differently from himself, for he felt a great desire to discuss the subject. There were so many things left unsaid. The fifth night was a Friday night, the fifth night in a row that Don felt himself penetrated and fucked. It had seemed particularly wild for some unknown reason. As usual, Don had reached his orgasms with the help of Ed's greased hand. But he wasn't complaining. It was a far, far cry from jerking off in a hot little room and decidedly less lonesome. That Saturday morning, they slept later than usual. They didn't have to report in that day, so they didn't set the alarm. Don lay there for quite some time, not opening his eyes. He didn't have to open them to know that the sunlight was streaming in through the white curtains. He felt Ed's heavy thigh over his own, felt his own head laying in the crook of Ed's arm, and he was at peace with the world. What a wonderful way to wake up, he decided, in some handsome guy's arms. For a fleeting moment, he wondered what Edna would say if she could see them as they were now. What about if she had witnessed their fucking the previous night? It had been wild. Thinking about it gave him an erection. He felt a hand on his thigh, traveling upward. It caressed his testicles and tickled them, causing Don to squirm slightly. His hand inched higher and tickled the hairs at the root of his cock, causing it to throb. The hand encircled and gripped him, then pumped lightly up and down. It was delicious pleasure. Don opened his eyes and almost startled to find himself staring at close range into Ed's green ones. The expression on the older man's face was dead serious, and for a brief second, Don's heart stopped. But the hand continued to pump, a little at a time. They looked at each other for a long time. One corner of Ed's mouth quirked, moved about nervously. Don could see the heavy stubble of beard on the man's chin and cheeks. The hair above the mouth only made his generous lips seem startlingly red. Ed seemed about to say something, but then he stopped. Don's heart beat wildly. Why doesn't he say something? He sat up slowly, still holding onto the other man's cock. He threw the covers off their bodies, and Don could see Ed's cock standing at attention, pointing, as usual, toward his navel as it stood strongly against his body. "We don't need to be drunk, do we?" Ed asked. His eyes. Don had never seen Ed's eyes look like that before. They gleamed, but they also held something else in them. Something mysterious. Something he couldn't fathom. "No, we don't need to be drunk," Don finally managed. In a frenzy, Ed threw himself upon the other man. Startled as he was, it knocked the wind out of Don. He felt the mouth on his, sucking, kissing, the tongue invading the inside of his own mouth while the stubble of beard scratched against his own. His arms went around Ed's neck, and he felt himself embraced about his torso. Their bodies mashed together, their cocks fraternizing. After a time, Don was conscious of the fact that he was dripping profusely. As usual, whenever he got excited, that damn tool of his ran like a leaky faucet. But Ed didn't seem to mind, although it was wetting both their bellies. Ed seemed more interested in Don's behind. As they lay kissing, one of his hands continually caressed the soft, downy globes. Fingers pinched, a hand separated the flesh, and a finger touched and tantalized. Minutes went by, but neither was worried about time. Ed's mouth was now on his neck, nipping it with his teeth and traveling up to his ear. He felt the wet tongue invade that ear and then suck on the lobe. The tongue slithered down the back of his neck as he turned his head in ecstasy. He could hear the wet sounds it made. He was still conscious of the small amount of saliva still inside his ear opening. Ed breathed hard, a raspy sound. "I knew you were a hot number, baby. The minute I set eyes on you, I knew." Don didn't say anything. Then their embrace ended. Don opened his eyes and saw Ed crouched next to him. One hand gripped his erect penis, and the other hand was caressing his balls. He looked into Ed's face. There was something fanatical showing through his features. Then Ed moved down a bit on the bed. He grabbed Don's cock in his hand and brought his own rod against it. He gripped the two organs in both of his hands and worked his hips, sliding his own cock up and down the length of the underside of Don's throbbing tool. "Yeah, a real hot number. I'm never wrong," Ed whispered in a hoarse voice. Then he was back up to the head of the bed again. His hand worried his cock, and Don felt himself staring at the pulsating flesh. The head of it was very red. "Eat me," Ed's voice whispered. Don could not mistake the utterance for anything but a command. Ed's voice had been husky and gruff. "Eat me." He watched the glittering eyes that stared down at him. They no longer held the impish, boyish quality he had seen there so often. They were deadly serious. He put the head of his cock in his mouth and worked his lips about. He'd never done that before, not to any man. He wasn't experienced, and he supposed it showed in his actions. "I want to watch," Ed said. "I want to watch you eat me." Don looked up and saw the look of agitation. He slipped his mouth to the underside of the cock and worked up and down, open mouth, from head to root. He heard the man's breath suck in hurriedly. "Chew my nuts," the command came. Don lowered his mouth. He could smell the wrinkled flesh of the scrotum now. It was like perfume to him. There was a smell unlike any he'd ever known before. Musky? Was that the way to describe it? He thought he might never know the proper word or words to describe it, but it made him hot. When he took one testicle into his mouth and sucked on it, he heard Ed's cock slap against his abdomen in pleasure. He worked from one to the other, content to do the man's bidding until such a time as he issued another command. But Ed didn't say anything. When he wanted to change a pace, he lifted himself slightly, extricating his left testicle from the mouth. He held his penis in his hand and then pressed it against the younger man's mouth, pushing it from side to side, from one corner of the mouth to the other. He gasped in pleasure. "Let me see you. Let me see you eat it," he husked. He slipped his cock into Don's mouth and then worked his hips back and forth, forcing a goodly portion of himself inside. Don was enjoying it. He liked the idea of Ed watching him so intently. For some reason, he got a thrill out of it. He didn't know why, but he didn't care either. He moved his mouth and lips about in the most lascivious manner possible, conscious of the fact that his every move was being closely scrutinized and that the person watching was extracting delicious enjoyment from every movement. Then Ed worked himself to a kneeling position until his head was facing Don's feet. Don could feel the head of the tool working about his tongue and the delicate membranes of his cheeks. Then Ed eased down slowly. Don started to choke, and Ed eased up slightly. Then he pressed forward again. When Don choked, he eased back again. Don began to expect it, but then suddenly the entire length of cock pushed into his mouth and all the way to his throat. He gagged violently. He choked and couldn't breathe. His discomfort was tremendous, but he kept expecting Ed to ease up. When the other man finally did ease up, tears were rolling down Don's cheeks. He swallowed with difficulty, feeling the soreness already. Then Ed began to ease his cock in and out with short strokes, ending with two very deep thrusts all the way down. Once Don got used to the rhythm, he knew what to expect, and he could time his breathing so that his lungs didn't scream for air. However, he still choked up at the deep invasion, but he was getting used to it. He felt Ed's mouth kissing his abdomen. It worked down, and he felt his pubic hair being pulled lightly by teeth. Then his cock was seized in Egg's bid-wed mouth. Don moaned. When he thought about Ed's handsome face, about his red, generously formed lips enveloping his cock, he almost came at once. The mouth sucked expertly, slipping all the way down to the root, and Don felt ashamed at his own ineptitude. He forced himself to try harder at swallowing the other man's cock. Ed didn't seem to choke. Don was delirious with excitement. He could feel Ed's heavy nuts against his nose, or sometimes against his forehead. The testicles were surprisingly cool. He inhaled the aroma. He opened his eyes and gazed at the hairy buttocks that heaved, driving the cock into his mouth. For the first time, he found himself gazing at another man's most intimate spot. He could see the wrinkled flesh as if it formed a tight O. Now and then it convulsed, as though winking like an eye. He had only just seen his own in the mirror when he'd expected himself, but it gave him a thrill to know that he could see Ed's. The wrinkled anal tissue was plum-colored. Don decided that most brunettes must be that color, or at least certain types of brunettes, such as Ed. Ed's attentive mouth and tongue caused him such pleasure that he closed his eyes and tried to return the favor. Don had got accustomed to the 5 short strokes and 2 long full-length ones, but suddenly Ed changed and kept pistoning full-length with every stroke. Don was choking. He couldn't breathe. He began to get almost hysterical and tried to moan some sort of warning to his partner, but he was choking so much that he knew Ed couldn't hear him. He felt the other man's mouth and tongue swirling over his own cock frenziedly, now and then nipping with teeth around the head, causing him to jump slightly. Then, as abruptly as it had started, the cock eased from his throat until only the head was in his mouth. Don struggled for air. Saliva was running down his chin and cheeks, and some even forced itself out of his nostrils as he choked. Then, when the life-giving air was once more in his lungs, the cock pushed forward, full weight upon him. Don knew that this was it. He felt the rough pubic patch rubbing his chin wildly, the cock deep in his throat swelling, and he tried to get Ed's attention by slapping him on the buttocks, but Ed was attacking the penis in his own mouth with gusto and ignored him. Then Don felt the gushes down his throat. A man's load. Oh, God. He choked. He liked Ed, and he'd wanted this, but not so much at one time. But Ed wouldn't come up. He ignored Don's struggles, his discomfort. He writhed his hips as he came, and Don could feel his throat squeezing the head of the cock deep down. It hurt his muscles as the head of it swelled with each spurt and was hard as marble. To add to Don's discomfort, Ed's rough beard began to scratch around his penis and his testicles. Don jumped, and it seemed that Ed misinterpreted this as a sign of pleasure, and so Don endured his subjection to this treatment, although he found the beard highly unpleasant. Just when he was about to pass out, the cock eased out of his throat. He swallowed heavily several times, and then Ed seized him about the hips, and Don found himself flipped with amazing strength. In a split second, their positions were reversed, and now it was Don who was the one above. He felt his cock sink deeply into Ed's mouth, felt the throat contractions around the head of it. Ed's hands caressed his buttocks and his testicles, a signal that all was well. Don coughed and laid his head against Ed's now limp genitals. He felt the stickiness from the saliva and the semen against his face. Then Ed's hands were urging him on. He moved his hips. He plunged in viciously, just as Ed had fucked his own face. But Ed didn't choke, nor did he seem to need to breathe. Don didn't know how he did it. He raised up slightly on his knees, giving his hips more leverage, and then he plunged in long, deep strokes. It didn't take him long to come. After what he'd been subjected to, he felt wonderful just to be able to breathe again. But the warm sensations of that throat. He gloried in Ed's passivity. He fucked the face brutally, ignoring the scratching beard against his testicles. And when he did come, he plunged in all the way, just as Ed had done. Take it, you bastard, he thought, just like I did. All the while he came, he was conscious of Ed's hands caressing his buttocks. Then they rolled to their sides. Ed continued to mouth Don's cock, causing him to jump. Then they merely kissed and licked each other's genitals for a while, coming back to reality. Don buried his face in the limp flesh. God, it smelled so good. He kissed and felt himself kissed in return.